Good morning. Scripture reading is from chapter 4 from Matthew, verses 1 to 11. The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me the privilege to read your word and to have the freedom to come to this church and to hear your word. I pray, Lord, that you will open our ears, open our minds, and open our hearts. Let us receive what the pastor will speak today, and let us use it. I thank you so much for everything, for your blessings, and for your Holy Spirit. I pray all these things in your Father, in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of people wonder whether there are really spirits or angels or unidentified flying objects and people that are in the space somewhere and we don't know. People have always been fascinated by stories of invisible, supernatural beings and forces who are involved in celestial struggles. Some claim to have personal guides or channels who enable them to contact the spirits of the dead. The New Age emphasis on unseen friends is part of the world today, or is part of a worldview that has spread all over. Books on channeling, crystals, reincarnation, and astrology are flooding the market and even the classrooms of our schools. Anthropologist Carlos Castaneda, Elizabeth Kobler, Rose, and the Death and Dying Authority, the actress Shirley MacLaine, and others have been some of the prophetess or promoters, if you wish, of these ideas. They think they're prophets. They think they know it all. They are emphasizing channeling, and they are the promoters of these activities. Thousands of people claim that through hypnosis and mind-altering drugs, they have been able to make contact with spirit beings. The experiences they talk about are convincing enough to influence many. Those who believe in the authority of the Bible must not be surprised at all at these developments. From cover to cover, the Bible describes the activities of unseen spirits who have a long history of interacting with our human race. What is also clear in the Bible, however, is that the subject of angels would be dealt with, should be dealt with discernment and caution. Be careful when you deal or talk about the spirit world. The unseen spirit world can either be harmful or helpful. Therefore, it must not be treated as an intriguing curiosity or something like that. And that reminds me of a young man, many years ago, that started coming to church. His background was from a different Christian religion, and he came and he accepted the Lord, and he started coming to the church, and he was becoming very active. When one night he came to me and he said, "You know, Pastor, I'm very interested about the devil and the evil spirits because I want to know my enemy." Well, I said, "Read the Bible." He says, No. Actually, I'm reading some books about Satan and satanic powers and angels and things like that." I said, "No, don't do that because you may not be able to handle what you read." He said, No, I know how to handle it." Anyways, he came the following week and he said, I've been reading it. I've been reading it all week. And you know what? He says, "It's very scary." And I said, "I told you that. Don't get involved in reading these things. Why would you want to know more about the devil and the activities in his kingdom?" "Oh," he said, "I would like to know my enemy better." And so he kept reading, and the following week, after 2-3 weeks, he came again. He said, "I'm scared, Pastor. I don't know what to do. Now I can't sleep at night." Anyways, to make a very long story short, he eventually, after a couple of months, he became so ill that he was locked up in a hospital. We don't know, I don't know what happened to him. This is a true story. I don't know how he got so sick that he could not function anymore, but I know that you cannot play with powers and forces that are unseen and incredibly strong. What can we learn from the Bible about these spirits? The Bible has more than a few angelic sayings, actually, or sightings. When we carefully study the Bible and what the Bible says about angels, we learn that first, we are not alone. We are not alone. We are helped by unseen friends who are called angels. We are opposed by invisible enemies who are the evil spirit. The words angel and angels are found about 300 times in the Bible. The Bible speaks often of Satan and demons and refers to them as real but not flesh and blood and earthbound like us. The Bible is full of references to spirit beings who possess intelligence and moral qualities that and this shows that we are not alone. Many scientists picture us as the only thinking and choosing being in a vast universe and the result of an inexplicable series of chance happenings over billions of years. But this is not what the Bible says. It tells us God created both the visible and the invisible world and everything and everyone in them. We are not alone. We are not orphans in a hostile universe. We were created by the living God. God is spirit and is present with us at all times. And in the spirit world with him are myriads of living creatures who can make an impact on us for either good or bad. We are helped by unseen friends. The Bible says that there are angels who help us. These angels are our unseen friends. What is an angel? Well, the meaning of the word angel in Greek, the Greek word is angelos, which means a messenger. In Hebrews 1:14, we read, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" The answer, of course, is yes. Angels normally are invisible because they are spirits and they can move quickly from the spirit world to our physical world to help us. In the Bible, angels sometimes appear in the form of men, as they did to Abraham, Genesis 18, and the followers of Jesus at the tomb from which he had risen, Mark 16:5. In Hebrews 13:2, we are encouraged to be hospitable to strangers because some have entertained angels without knowing it, the Bible says. Angels usually help and protect us without becoming visible. Yes, our angel friends may be unseen, but according to the Bible, they are all around us. God uses them as His servants to protect and help the believers. Now, you may ask this morning, why are you talking about angels and evil spirits or things like that? Well, we have not touched this subject for a long, long time. It is true that often we feel that we are alone. It's only we are alone, us here and God up there somewhere, and we are like orphans in the middle of nowhere. And also we hear daily more movies are made these days about magic stuff and magicians and evil spirits and aliens coming to this earth and pretending to be human. And it's very confusing also among our churches when you see activities that are always described as God is blessing us, God's Holy Spirit is doing this, and God's Holy Spirit has given me the power to do this, and the angels are here helping me. And often we are confused, or people are confused and are asking me, "Pastor, could this happen? Could God do this? And should I feel inferior because I'm not able to do like that person? Or what about this preacher or pastor? And what about this priest or the other priest? What about these powers?" And people now are so confused that what they are doing is reading about these supernatural powers, supernatural people, people with a lot of gifts, people with a long list of titles they have or degrees they have, and they have forgotten to follow Christ. Instead of focusing on Jesus and following Him, they are now trying to discover or uncover and find out the truth about all these powers, magical powers, as they describe them. Forgetting that there are other powers that we cannot see. We are opposed by invisible enemies. As we study the Bible, we discover that we have enemies in the spirit world. A large number of evil spirits hate God. And this hatred makes these demons do all they can to frustrate God's purposes for the human race. The Bible refers to the devil as our enemy. That's in 1 Peter 5:8, and describes his followers as an organized and powerful army, Ephesians 6:12. Let's now look at some of the things these demons do. First, they oppose God and His people. Under the leadership of Satan, this name means adversary, they do all they can to keep God from carrying out His plans and purposes. The devil is adversary, the enemy, the head of a vast army of evil beings against whom we must wrestle. Number two, they accuse God and His people. He is the accuser. Under their leader, the devil, the accuser, they do all they can to cast doubts on God's character and His people. For example, Adam and Eve, Job, and we have many examples. In Revelation 12:10, we read, "For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Number three, they deceive the unsaved and try to deceive the true believers. In Revelation 12, verse 9, we read, "The devil or Satan leads the whole world astray." In 2 Corinthians 4:4, we read, "Blinds the eyes of those who do not believe." Satan uses lying spirits and sends deceiving spirits who promote doctrines of demons. Often people ask me, what about this doctrine? It sounds good, it sounds clean, it sounds religious. Well, the devil is the father of all liars. Do you think the devil will come and tell someone in the church or tell you that there is no God, there is no Jesus, don't believe in them or don't believe in heaven and hell? Because he knows you have made up your mind to believe in these persons, the person of God and the doctrine of the Bible. But then he thinks some more and he comes with and sows some seeds of doubts. What about your own spirituality? Do you think you can be as holy as this other person? Do you think you can perform as well as this other person? What about your prayers? Man, you pray, you can't even pray well. Your prayers don't sound as good as the prayers of this other person. And what about your powers? You have no powers. There are other people who perform miracles, who cast out demons, who heal people, and who speak in tongues, and the Baptists who do this, and the Pentecostals do that, and all kinds of things. And at the end of the day, your head is so filled with these questions and doubts that you start doubting your own salvation. Well, who do you think does all that? Is not the Holy Spirit, is not God, is the enemy, as the Bible says. They plant evil thoughts into the minds of people. Demons played and still play a large role in the mental processes of false teachers and even of followers of Jesus. For example, Satan filled the mind of Judas with thoughts that led him to betray him. Satan was involved in the lying by Ananias and Sapphira and so on. And there are so many other examples in the Bible. The devil plants evil thoughts into the minds of people. Fifth, they influence government leaders. The devil, who is the ruler of the world, John 12:31, and the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he controls leaders through evil spirits. Satan will, through demons, lead armies of humans to fight against God and each other. Sixth, they try to distort the biblical view of Jesus Christ. Listen to Apostle John's warning in 1 John 4:1-3. "Test the spirits, whether they are of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." Evil spirits are always at work to distort the person of Jesus Christ. They usually speak well of him, but they come short of the full truth. For example, some religions speak of him as a great prophet. "Oh yes, yes, we believe in Jesus. Jesus was a great prophet. He was a great man, but he was not God." Well, that's not according to the Word of God. New Agers refer to him as an enlightened one. In the spirit world, they claim him to be the enlightened one. Jews refer to him as a great teacher. Jehovah's Witnesses call him a son of God, not the son of God. The Mormons see him as a savior and revealer. But you will not hear them confessing Jesus to be the God-man, the incarnate deity who came to bring salvation for sinful mankind. That is why it is impossible for us to test the Spirit as we listen to religious teachers. We need to go to the Bible. If they deny Jesus Christ as the eternal God-man, they are receiving their instructions from evil spirits, not from God. They may sound as great as they can, or as great as a poor human being can sound. They may sound pious. They may sound promising. They may promise healing. They may promise money. They may promise eternal life if you follow them, or if you accept their doctrine, or if you give some money, you'll get more money. They may say good things about Christianity, and yet the person of Jesus is not seen and is not heard. And there is so much religiosity and doctrine involved in so many churches today and activities that you just wonder whether they are followers of Christ or followers of a cult because of the confusion. Now, knowing what Satan, the enemy, aims to do and how he does it can be very scary and discouraging. It may discourage you, may discourage many, it may discourage me because of knowing the power and the ability of satanic forces to influence people. And yet, the Bible says, greater is he who is in us than the one who is in the world. But it is good and beneficial if we use the information to build a good defense plan to counterattack the evil. The Apostle James gave the following plan, James 4:7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, run away from you. Let me just clarify one word here. Or one sentence at least says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil. The problem with many is they think they can resist the devil with their own power. They feel that they know how to manipulate the devil or negotiate with the devil fool him or start a discussion with the devil and then confuse him. Others, they believe that if they have the cross and they just go like that, the devil will go away. If they take the Bible and kiss it or do something, the devil will run away. If they say, oh yeah, yeah, I know you are the devil, leave me alone. No, the Bible says the only way the devil will go away if you submit yourself, your own will, and yourself to the Lord and resist the devil and he will flee away. I believe the key is submission to God. It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, run away from you. In a nutshell, victory over evil is possible by first wanting to do God's will. If you want to do God's will, then humbly submitting to him and resisting the devil in God's strength, he will flee away and you will have victory. Ephesians 6:11-18. In closing, I would like to remind you that those who believe in Jesus Christ will stand with what? The Bible says we can have victory and we can have victory over the devil and his activities. Luke 15:10 says, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then it says, thousands upon thousands of angels and joyful assembly will rejoice with us. Hebrews 12:22. If you still have questions about the reality of the spirit world, read the Bible and also look around you. This morning I was discussing with a few people about what's happening in the world today. Fires here in Canada, fires in Greece, Portugal. Athens is being surrounded by fires once again. And there are evil. There is evil everywhere. There are educators and ministers and religious people who are corrupt. You find people who are so heartless that will abuse children, and there is so much religious corruption. And then you must ask question: who is doing all this? If there is no God, if people say there is no God, then there's something making them be so bad. Because in human, I would say, animals don't do any of these things. So they will say, oh yeah, it's evil, evil, man. We have deteriorated. This is evil. Okay, if there is evil, that means there is something good, or there was something good. And how can you know what is evil unless you know what is good? And you start comparing. And I believe we, the born-again Christians, or the Christians who claim to be the followers of Christ, are often not a good example, and we don't show them the way to the truth that will set them free. Because we ourselves often are involved in so many activities, so much self-centeredness, vanity, and all these things have prevented us from fighting the good fight and finishing the course, as Apostle Paul said. So once again this morning, I would like to remind you, and I have reminded myself all week about the powerful forces. I've been praying this morning for His power when I get up to be emptied from myself, and for the Lord to speak to each one of us. And I was very much aware of the devil's intentions to prevent me from speaking to you about him. He doesn't want to be known as the bad person. He doesn't even want to be known as he is active. And yet, the Bible says, expose sin. And the Lord himself told us to not let our guard down, but always be on prayer, at prayer, and pray and follow Christ. The devil will attack you. The devil will attack me, does attack me all the time. As a matter of fact, just coming up here, I felt so unwell that I knew that there were a lot of forces trying to prevent me from getting up and saying what I want to say, what he wants me to say. But once again, if Jesus was tempted by the devil, that's why we read that portion. If Jesus was led by the devil and he actually volunteered, I'm sure Jesus could have said no. He just volunteered to be tempted by the devil to be a good example to us that we can resist the devil by using the Bible and what the scriptures say. Then why wouldn't you be tempted? Why wouldn't you be attacked? Why wouldn't I be attacked by the devil and the powerful angels of devil's angels? People are proud to call themselves hell's angels. There are all kinds of groups who call themselves all kinds of things. Why would someone be so proud to call himself hell's angel? Because once the powerful forces take over the body and the heart of the human being, that person becomes very demon-possessed, if you wish, or possessed by the devil. And the only way not to allow the devil to possess anyone is by resisting the devil, by using the gospel, by using the word of God, and by turning away from him. Let us just pray that God will give us the clarity of mind, the spirit of discernment to discern what is right and what is wrong, and what comes from whom and where. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being with us, for guiding us. We thank you, Lord, for showing us the light. Father in heaven, I also thank you for speaking to each one of us this morning. We all have our own thoughts and our... and our understanding of what is evil. But we know that only you can give us the truth. Father, touch each one of us. Teach us how to pray. Strengthen our faith and help us to resist the devil. Lord, we are not here to impress each other, although many people try to impress others. We're not here, Lord, to defend a doctrine or a dogma or a religion. We are here, Lord, because we need you. Because we know that without you we can do nothing. And Lord, we have come here this morning and open our hearts to you for your guidance and for your help. Teach us how to live godly and holy lives. In your blessed name I pray, amen.